Hey, I am Amal Murad, and this is the Leap Podcast.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Leap Podcast. So, the cat is out of the bag, and I announced a few days ago that I am pregnant with my second baby, inshallah. And it has been quite an overwhelming journey this time around. With the verse, you kind of don't know what to expect, so I feel like it's easier to process as you go along. But with the second, when you already have a toddler that's running around, you don't really have much time to prepare. You're just continuously on flight or fight mode. You are continuously trying to find ways to entertain your little one while you yourself are growing a baby. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I slept on the floor of the bathroom vomiting while my almost three-year-old is knocking on the door and yelling, screaming for me to open the door for her. Definitely not the same experience as the first baby, but it's like they say, you know, it's worth it in the end. I'm just waiting for it to be worth it right now. I am still in the motion, if you know what I mean. But, you know, right now, going through this ever-changing experience of pregnancy where your body is changing at such a rapid pace and you don't really have time to prepare yourself for all that is to come because it's unpredictable, it's so easy to fall prey to what's on social media. Like, nobody prepares you for pregnancy. Nobody. Like, it's amazing, it's beautiful, but at the same time, it's really hard and crappy. Like, I don't know how to explain it any other way. And what sucks is that you're going through this alone. Whether we like to admit it or not, it's your body. So you feel like you're the only one experiencing all these changes. Then, like I said, you go on social media and that's another world of chaos. All of the things that I didn't want to read at the current state that I'm in. I swear, like on social media, everything is like rainbows and butterflies and love and happiness and fluff. And here I am being like acne, hair loss, indigestion, nausea, gestational diabetes and all that jazz. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here to discourage you from being pregnant. That's not the case at all. But social media for me has been the worst place to be in when one, your body is changing. You kind of don't even recognize yourself when you look in the mirror. And two, you're in a very vulnerable state in your life. For those of you who are following me on social media, I don't even know if you saw what I posted a while back, but there was a man who claimed that women are only conditioned to feel pain in delivery and that the pain is a societal construct that's been passed down generation to generation. And pardon my language, but I lost my ish. It's like there's a part of the internet where everything's perfect and your body doesn't change and you're glowing and you're radiant. And there's another part that is just a bunch of people telling you that it's all in your head. You're not the first person who got pregnant. And there are quick fixes that could make all your problems go away. So, like, it's something that I've realized is that no matter how educated you are and no matter how much you've researched, there's always a part of you that gives in to the things you read on social media, especially when you're not in the right mindset. I even remember looking at myself in the mirror when I was almost 2 months postpartum and then looking at one of the trainers who gave birth at the same time I did and thinking to myself, why don't I look like that postpartum? Now, be reminded that I am a pregnant and postpartum coach. I am the one who's telling other people that you don't need to compare yourself to what you see on social media, yet here I am doing exactly that. And then the insecurities just start multiplying. Like, before I got certified in pregnancy and postpartum, and before I even got pregnant, there isn't really much that's been taught to us about our bodies. Like, come to think about it, all I've known is I'm going to hit puberty. That means bleeding for a week every month until menopause. And if I got pregnant, a baby will grow inside of me. I will become a mom and I will either have a vaginal or a C-section birth by the end of it. Even in biology at school, I only remember the words fallopian tube, uterine lining, egg, sperm, fetus. And that's about it. I don't know why, but it feels like industries are definitely profiting off of us basically not knowing anything about our bodies. That being said, I thought it would be great if I start telling you all the things and myths that I've heard about your body as a woman. And I want to start debunking all of the crap that's on social media. Things that I've heard as a mom, as a coach, but also as the one who's going through pregnancy the second time around. So here are 7 fads or myths I would love to share with y'all that I feel we still fall for this very day. 1, you shouldn't move during pregnancy or carry any sort of weight. There is no collective evidence whatsoever to prove that working out causes things like miscarriage. Again, there is no collective evidence that proves that working out causes miscarriages. But keep in mind, if you have a high-risk pregnancy, that's another case. Then you have to go and resolve it with your doctor. However, I also want to remind you that I'm not telling you to go jump off a cliff or go bungee jumping or do anything that's going to put you at risk regardless of having a baby in your stomach, and that we must respect the changes in our bodies. However, training is actually what helps you recover postpartum. Keep in mind, your baby is considered weight. And after birth, you don't have time to really heal. You seriously are given a baby the second you give birth. And you will realize you will have to hold this baby for hours on end, especially if that baby was breastfeeding. I remember the second I gave birth, they put my baby on my chest. And I was bawling. I was crying because I was exhausted. I was in labor for 12 hours. I didn't feel like I had the energy to carry my baby, but I had no choice. I was this baby's savior. I was this baby's food. I was this baby's mom and protector. So when someone comes and tells me, Emel, you shouldn't carry any weight, I tell them, you don't have a choice. I wish that was the case. I wish we could have time to heal after you've given birth, but that isn't the reality. So even now, as a mom, I have a toddler that's almost 18 kgs. I'm carrying her to soothe her. She got sick a few days ago. I have no choice but to do that. I'm her mom, yet I'm pregnant. So how can I prepare my body to be able to do these things? Through training, through movement. I want to be resilient and adaptive no matter what stage in life I'm in. So no, I don't agree that you shouldn't move during pregnancy. In reality, I took 2 weeks off very recently and I felt more aches than I've ever felt before. So I want people to move. You'd be surprised just how much it can help you, not only physically, but also mentally. On the same note, I know this might sound super confusing, but a lot of people think training will make your pregnancy and delivery easier. That is not necessarily the case. I know some of the fittest and healthiest people who had very complicated pregnancies and deliveries. Now, this isn't me giving you the green light to not train. This is me telling me that you can do what you can. You should do what you can. You should train, but you should also surrender to what is out of your control. You can't control what happens to you during delivery. You can't control the positioning of your baby or if your baby's breech or if your pelvic floor was too tight during that time. You do what you can and then you let go of what you can't. 2, something that I always hear and I felt I needed to address, something that I don't agree with, the quote where people say, all you need to do is listen to your body during pregnancy. Let me tell you why this is a very dangerous statement. if you weren't educated on what to look out for, there's no way you'd understand how to listen to your body. We've been conditioned to think pain is the only indicator that we're supposed to look for when something is not right. But let me give you an example. In pregnancy, what happens is that there's a lot of pressure on your core, whether it's on your abs, on your pelvic floor, and you need to be able to minimize adding more pressure to a system that is already compromised. But I was training with my friend and we were doing the same movement and we're almost 4 months pregnant. So both of us were 4 months pregnant. What I realized was that I wasn't able to control the pressure in my stomach as much as she could. No matter how much I fixed my breathing, no matter how much I fixed my form, I could see that I wasn't able to control the pressure in my abdomen. So I needed to regress the workout where she didn't have to. So it really will depend on the person. Whether you progress and regress a workout will depend on the person. So we can't generalize and say this exercise is dangerous for a pregnant woman because each person is different and our tendencies when we train are not the same. The way that I hold my breath in training is not the same way that you breathe in training. So every person will have something or will train differently and will need to regress and progress according to their individual case. Number three. Oh, this is my favorite and something I've been wanting to debunk, I think, since forever. Waist strainers and corsets. Oh my God. You know, when they say, wear this, it'll make you lose the mom belly pooch or whatever. And you usually see like Kim Kardashian or someone who had surgery done basically sell it to you. And it infuriates me because even most of the trainers you see on social media promoting this are actually profiting from each purchase. So in reality, they are gaining from your insecurity. There is a lot of research proving that waist trainers can do so much damage because number one, your core is healing. But the only way muscles and tissue can progressively get stronger is by allowing them to handle load on their own. Think of a waist trainer being like a crutch or a cast that you use for a broken bone, let's say your arms. You can't get your arms stronger by wearing the crutch all day. You get it stronger by removing the crutch or removing the cast, allowing your arm to slowly move and take load on its own. If you wear the cast for, let's say, 10 weeks, which is something that I experienced myself when I broke my arm and I wore a cast for a long period of time, your muscles lose all function. Like I could barely use my car key and to switch on my car or to even open my door, any type of key, because I lost so much function in my arm. We're doing the same exact thing by relying on an external force, which is a waist trainer. So I do not agree that this is what's going to help you lose the mommy pooch. In general, when you give birth, it's more of understanding pressure management and understanding how to distribute the tension in your abdominal area. This whole idea that you can force your body to look a certain way just by squeezing it hard enough is ridiculous. Number four, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for this one, but having a six-pack doesn't mean you have a strong core. This is quite interesting because as women, we are always told our looks determine our health. Keep in mind that a six-pack in most cases is just you having a very low body fat percentage in your abdominal area. But your core has so much more function than just looking good. I've had almost 4 clients who have gotten the six-pack postpartum, but have still been struggling with things like back pain, incontinence, which is involuntary peeing when doing high-impact sports. And they still needed to work on their core, even though they, quote-unquote, looked the part. So please don't let looks mislead you. Unfortunately, a lot of us tend to stay quiet when it comes to symptoms or don't even address the symptoms when going to a doctor because we feel if we look good, then nothing else matters. But let me tell you something. It is going to matter when you're almost 60, not even 50, 40 from what I'm seeing right now. So don't let that mislead you. Number five, another favorite, especially with the older generation, detox teas, you know, slimming teas or these fat burning pills that enhance weight loss. I don't know what happened, but somehow we've been convinced that something that you drink, something that you put in your drink can change your body composition or can get rid of toxins. It makes people think that an average beverage can do extreme changes to your body. And again, influencers are usually the driving factor in this field. We should be more wary about finding clinical studies surrounding this specific product. The only reason I'm telling you this is because a while back I saw a slimming tea and then I saw a study about the slimming tea, and it was the people who made the study were the manufacturers themselves. So that's pretty biased if you ask me, okay? You have to be very cynical about the studies that you're reading. Just because one study is telling you one thing does not necessarily mean that it's true. You have to have more of a collective overview and see what else is being said about this specific product. Number six, you can bounce back to your old body postpartum. I remember a while back, I wrote this on my social media. I wrote that there is no such thing as going back to your old body. And a lot of people, women, took it very offensively, saying that I was being very negative. But let me come and address this a little differently. Why are we seeing this as a negative thing? This is something I learned to accept, especially after breaking my arm, before even getting pregnant. I had plates and screws installed inside my arm. Still there, by the way. When I first broke my arm, all I could think was, will I ever be able to be strong like before? And part of me never accepted that I had hardware in my arm. Like, the thing that made it worse was that I didn't accept it. I didn't accept that I was different and that my arm was different. I kept thinking, if I remove the plate, I'll be better. But years later, I decided to keep it in and work with what I have. I feel stronger than ever. And I think you should think that your body's just the same after you give birth. When you give birth, your body, your life, literal chemicals in your brain all change. You are not the same person. This is reality. And I don't know why this is seen as a bad thing. You can work with the body that you have postpartum, and you can get better in terms of how you look. You can get better in terms of how you perform at the gym, but it takes time. And unfortunately, we don't allow ourselves that much time. A year, even a year is not enough. I want you to remember that health and fitness isn't something you achieve in a couple of months. It's a lifelong goal. One of my favorite accounts on social media, if you guys follow Squat University. So basically, one of the posts said, it's not sexy to say the way to build real strength is to lift 3 to 5 times a week for 10 plus years, but it's the truth. And that's the reality. It's repetition, it's consistency, and it's for the rest of your life. So it's time for us to work with our bodies and not deny all of what our body has been through. Number seven, last but not least, something that I experienced as a mom, breastfeeding makes you lose weight. Studies around breastfeeding are inconclusive, and there is not enough evidence to prove that. And the reason why I'm addressing this is because there are way too many factors to come into play. When you're breastfeeding, your prolactin hormone is fairly high, and that automatically increases your appetite. And when you are very early postpartum, you're not sleeping well, and that also affects your hunger hormones. So I think we're being a little too harsh on ourselves and on our bodies when we're not living up to the expectations of what our body is supposed to do. But in reality, there are too many factors that are coming into play affecting our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with food, our relationship with anything outside our bodies. But I don't think it's the right time to put that much pressure on ourselves right in the middle of the roller coaster that is having a newborn baby. So I think just going through all of the myths that I've heard very recently. A lot of this is very prevalent in our community and also in our culture, but there are not a lot of studies backing up these claims. So I really want you to remind yourself that you are going through a lot at the moment. And the last thing you want to do is basically be hard on yourself. I think that's the funniest thing of all, is that we are the harshest critics on ourselves. Give yourself the time to grow this baby in your stomach. Give yourself the time to take care of a soul other than yourself. But also remind yourself that there is so much out of your control, and you do what you got to do without blaming yourself in the process. Yeah. If you need anything else, feel free to send me a DM on Leap at… No. If you need anything else, feel free to send me a DM at leap.of.hope on Instagram, or feel free to even send me an email, ml@leapofhope.fit. And until we leap again, see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Leap podcast. Make sure to subscribe and tune in. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and review and share it with your friends. It'll make it easier for people to find the show and to also learn from it. Your support means a lot. You can find me on Instagram at leap.of.hope, or feel free to contact me via email, ml@leapofhope.fit. I am your host, Amel Murad, and this podcast is brought to you by Dukan Media. Thank you, and keep leaping.